Did you happen to notice that I wasn't at Mass last weekend? My wife, Pat, and I were in California celebrating our granddaughter Iona's 3rd birthday. And I tell you, she's as cute as ever. But it's good to be back. You might remember my homily from last January when I described the devastation that had occurred with the Eaton Canyon fire in Altadena, California, where my daughter and son-in-law live, and how their home was miraculously spared from the fire, while all those around them were burnt to the ground. Throughout the year, many of you have been praying for them and asking for updates, and I thank you for your prayers. Here is a quick update 1 year after. Madeline and her family were out of their home for 3 months, living with her in-laws while their house was being decontaminated from the smoke damage. They are back in their house now, and life inside the house is nearly normal again. Outside, though, the reminders remain. The view out their window is a constant reflection of the fire's destruction. Altadena lost 6,500 homes. First, the EPA spent a couple of months clearing hazardous materials, and then the Army Corps of Engineers spent 4 months removing all the fire debris from each of the burnt houses and grading the sites. Now, Altadena is a sea of vacant lots. Strangely, though the houses have vanished, much of the landscaping, like driveways, sidewalks, fences, trees, and swimming pools, remain. Only a few homes have begun rebuilding. On our drive through the neighborhood, we saw just 2 under construction. The recovery is a slow process, but good to see that it is happening. What's that saying? From the ashes, a phoenix rises. While we were in California, I was reminded how much I enjoy the adventure of driving in Los Angeles. And while driving back from Disneyland, I saw a giant billboard on I-5 that read, "Jesus is not God." And I'm like, "What?" Back at my computer, I looked it up, which is exactly what they wanted me to do. And the billboard was from a group called The World's Last Chance. And they are a counter-religion, non-Christian cult that quotes the Bible but promotes alternate, unorthodox interpretations, like this one, that claims that Jesus is the Son of God but not actually God himself. Well, they might think they've got this great new idea, but it isn't a new idea. It's actually a resurfacing of a 4th century heresy called Arianism, a heresy condemned by the Council of Nicaea in the year 325 AD. And every Sunday, when we pray the Nicene Creed, we proclaim, "I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. Consubstantial with the Father, through him all things were made." In doing so, we reject Arianism. We reject that billboard message. So clearly, this Bible-based group isn't taking today's gospel reading to heart. John the Baptist is very clear about who Jesus is and what his mission was. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the Son of God." And as the evangelist John famously wrote at the very start of this gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is the Word. Jesus is God. We are truly blessed with John's gospel. God reveals exactly who Jesus is and why he came. This revelation is a gift of God's grace, and it is God's grace that makes us holy. In Paul's opening salutation to the Corinthians in our second reading today, he addresses them as, "You who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy." He reminds them and he reminds us that we are sanctified. We are made holy through our relationship with Christ. This holiness is God's gift. His grace slowly transforms us from sinners to saints, calling every baptized person to grow toward the perfection of God. Our first reading from Isaiah reminds us that simply being holy isn't quite enough. God says, "It is too little for you to be my servant. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." That's our call to mission, our call to evangelization, to share the good news. We aren't meant to focus only on our own holiness, but to help bring the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth. We hear that word evangelization a lot, but do we know what it means? To me, it conjures up images of preaching on street corners downtown or wearing a rainbow wig and holding up a sign that says John 3:16 at a football game. But evangelization is proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to all people, inviting people to conversion and allowing the gospel to transform hearts from within. That sounds like a pretty tall order, like something that is beyond my abilities. But Pope Francis reminded us often that every baptized person is called to be a missionary disciple through witness, encounter, and sharing the gospel. He consistently taught that evangelization isn't just for clergy, it's for all of us. For laity, families, parishes, and communities. And Pope Leo continues to promote this call, drawing from his own missionary experience in Peru. He calls evangelization the church's greatest privilege and duty. Evangelization is also a constant message from our own Bishop Wachowiak, and it is a part of St. Jude Parish's strategic plan. Why? Because it was Jesus' command to us first to spread the gospel and help build the kingdom of God. As we can see, it is one thing to focus on our own holiness. It is another to become evangelists. So how do we do it? You might think that it would be easier if you were a priest like Father who can reach all the families in his parish, or even a deacon who can preach from this amble, or a missionary who goes to foreign countries where God's message has not been shared. But evangelism is the call of every baptized person. That doesn't mean we have to go to the jungles of the Amazon and seek out non-believers and try to convert them. And you might be thinking, "I have a job and a family. What can I do?" Well, we can start with the low-hanging fruit right at home, making sure that our family is exposed to the gospel message. That's evangelization. And we can live as good members of God's kingdom, living simply, praying daily, and showing charity at work and at school to those around us. That's evangelization. Do you have secular friends like I do, that is, non-churchgoers? We don't have to hide being Christ-like around them, and it doesn't hurt for them to know that we are praying for their needs. maybe that we're not trying to convert them, at least not right now. But being a good example leads others to follow, and that's evangelization. In our neighborhoods, being welcoming, friendly, and helpful, that's evangelization. In our parish at St. Jude, we can get involved in ministries that benefit others. That's evangelization. And if you're not sure where to start here at St. Jude, there is something called the Ministry Mingle, which is coming up on February 1st. That's just a teaser, more to follow on that. Showing respect for the vulnerable by visiting the sick or homebound, supporting migrants, or advocating for life and family. That's evangelization. The Leadership Formation Institute groups Seek and Find event that we had this fall, or the recent Rescue Project, or the St. Jude Soup Suppers are all examples of evangelization in action. And though we may never become missionaries to foreign lands, we can support those efforts through prayer and almsgiving and awareness, just as we're encouraged to do on World Mission Sunday. You know, John the Baptist gives us a powerful example of evangelization. He didn't use his knowledge of Jesus to elevate himself. He shared it humbly, never acting holier than thou. There is just one caution. Our acts of service must be sincere, not showy, because false piety can push people away, and that's the opposite of evangelization. So as you can see, there is plenty we can do to evangelize without leaving West Michigan. And in so doing, we will become a light to the nations, that God's salvation may reach to the ends of the earth.